Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. Part 1 was primarily talking about the way a Christian should have an attitude or their worldview towards Christian theological type of issues, such as the Word of God being inspired by God and God being absolute. We are His servant and we're supposed to submit to Him, that God is a good God, those kind of things. In this second part, I've been talking about, first of all, how a Christian should have a philosophy or a viewpoint on current events. And we've been talking about homosexuality and abortion. We've covered those three things. The first thing I did was talk about how it's not wrong to have an opinion and to voice that opinion. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And I think that one of the things that has been very detrimental is that the secular media, the secular government, the secular world has basically beat the body of Christ back into the four walls of the church, to where you have your religious opinions over here, but it is wrong. We should have a separation of church and state. You shouldn't be saying anything about God and morality and expressing faith things in the public sector. And that is absolutely wrong. If you watch my programs recently back during the end of June and into July with David Barton, we showed that that is not the history of the United States, that Christians were very outspoken, and actually Christians formed the Constitution. Christian values were in mainstream America, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way that it has been until relatively recently in our history. So I spent a lot of time establishing that it's not incorrect for us to have a philosophy or a viewpoint on moral current issues. And then we talked about homosexuality, not only from a biblical point of view, but also from stats. We talked about abortion. And I could just continue on and go right down the line, and we could start talking about marriage now. We could talk about the way you raise your children. The world is very opinionated on that, and we have these psychologists that have put their two cents in and have said that it's child abuse for you to correct your children, when the Scripture says that if you don't chasten your child, you hate them. And anyway, I could deal on every one of these things individually and just go right on down the line. The Scripture has things to say about an employer, how you treat your employee, how an employee relates to an employer, how you have relationships with your fellow people. And we could go through everything, but that is nearly an endless process. What I want to do is to establish a Christian philosophy here, that I think that if you adopt this and see what the Scripture has to say, this will lead you into having an opinion on all of these different issues, and it will make you be separate from the world. But there are things said in the Word of God, and I'm going to be bringing out a lot of Scriptures on this, about where He says, come out from among them and be separate and don't touch the unclean thing. It says, all that is in the world, 1 John chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 15, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from God. Love not the world. I believe that must have been verse 16. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's just so many Scriptures, and I'm going to be going through this and bringing these out, but the world is going differently than the way that God is going. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, that I am not of this world. And now that we are begotten of Him, that we have embraced Him and we have become a brand new Christian, you need to recognize you are not of this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And peculiar there isn't meant to be weird or spooky or any of the negative things that we talk about. This is talking about that you are a separate people. There should be a difference between a person who has the life of God in them versus a person who has only physical, natural life. Boy, that is so obvious if you study the Scriptures. If you really have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, man, you ought to be able to contrast the way you are now versus the way that you used to be. And I'm going to be bringing out a lot of scriptures that will show this. But this is just a point that is made all the way through Scripture, that Christians, people who are truly in relationship with God, and I'm distinguishing between people who call themselves Christians who are only religious versus a person who truly has God living on the inside of them. There's lots of people that can't claim Christianity and they aren't any more born again and born of God than anything. They're just religious people. But a person who has a true relationship with God should be separate, different from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And before I get into this and trying to make this point and emphasizing this, which the reason I'm doing this is because if you really adopt that philosophy, if you see this in Scripture and if you get this mindset, then you know what? It's going to make you to where you will begin to question and you will begin to scrutinize and analyze everything that comes at you from a biblical perspective. And this will help you in the way you raise your children. You just won't accept what the psychologist of the day say. This will affect the way you have a relationship with your employer, the way you have a relationship with your wife and your children, and on and on. If you would begin to recognize that the world is constantly trying to squeeze us into its mold, and if you recognize that there is this spirit of Antichrist and this ungodliness in the world that we are being bombarded with, and if you get, I don't know if defensive is the right word, but if you get to where you aren't gullible, then you know what? You would question and analyze some things, and it'll make a difference in your philosophy. You know, back during the 1980s, I went over to Hungary, and this is while it was still under communism, and I was visiting with a couple there. They had lived for a year or two in the United States, and they were asking me what I thought of Hungary, and I was asking them what they thought of the U.S. And anyway, they had some really positive things to say about the U.S., but I asked them overall, I said, how would you characterize the American people? And you know what they said? They said, you're gullible. And at first, that was a little offensive, and I asked them to clarify, and they explained that, see, they were in their 30s or 40s. They had grown up under communism. And they had just learned that there was propaganda being shoved down their throat every minute of every day. The news media, the papers were all state-run. Everything was biased. Everything was from a communist perspective. And anyway, they had just learned that you do not swallow everything that you're told. But they lived in the United States, and their opinion was that Americans basically just swallow whatever comes down the pipe. If it comes across on the evening news, they just believe it. And you know, after they explained it, I think I would probably agree with them that Americans are some of the most gullible people on the face of the earth. And I'm basing this on my dealings with a lot of different people who just listen to stuff and they swallow it. You know, I'm going to say some of these things in more detail, but I might as well just offend everybody right from the start, amen, and get all this out on the table, and then I'll come back and try and explain myself in subsequent broadcasts. But, you know, I believe that this whole thing about the global recession, I'm not saying that there aren't problems, but it has been overstated. There are actually improvements in the deal that people aren't talking about, but people overstate these kind of things. Global warming, the health care and scare and all of these kind of things. Man, they're talking like America has the worst health care in the world, and yet all of the rest of the world is doing everything they can to try and make their health care like ours. You have all of the swine flu scares and the bird flu and all of these things. And people say these things. They talk about that this is going to be the worst hurricane season ever. In the last couple of years, it has been way below average, and yet they prognosticate these terrible things, and you are constantly being fed a line of misinformation There is propaganda being put forth, and if you are looking at the news to be informed or reading the newspaper, the average newspaper to be informed, you are one of the most misinformed people on the face of the earth. I really believe that. And I know that there's people who take offense at that and they think, man, I can't believe that you're saying all of these things. It's because I have a philosophy that in the Word of God, I can see we live in a hostile environment. The world system is contrary to God. And there are lies being said. The world tends to exaggerate, overstate things. Bad news is what sells. And I have got this kind of a philosophy from the Word of God. Let me just give you some examples here. Look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, we nearly always take a scripture like that and apply it towards marriage and say that a believer shouldn't marry an unbeliever. But this isn't limited to. I'm not excluding that at all. I'm just saying it's not only limited to marriage. This is talking about in business dealings. This is talking about your friends. Now, I'm not saying that we all withdraw into monasteries. I'm not saying that we all become like the Amish or something and we have these little communities and we don't use electricity or cars and we just live a totally secluded, separated lifestyle. I'm not preaching that, but I am preaching that there should be a difference between people who have been enlightened by God, who are in fellowship with God, who have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, and people that are living in the world and out to just satisfy the lust of their own flesh. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God." Now, I'm going to come back to those scriptures, but I don't know how you get around this. The world is not embracing Christianity. Jesus said that beware when all men speak well of you, for so spoke they of the false prophets which went before you, that the servant isn't greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted the master, then they're also going to persecute you. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The only reason you aren't going to be persecuted is if you live an ungodly life. If you start going the direction that God is going, you're going to be going contrary to the rest of the world. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed in the same direction. You turn around and start going for God, there's going to be opposition. And for you not to know this, for you not to recognize that there is something wrong with you just being, having the same attitude, the same values. And I'm going to say some things that I guarantee I don't have time to defend, and many of you will be offended at it, but I'm saying this because it's to your benefit. If it was just for my benefit, I'd probably shut up because I don't have time to defend it, and I know a lot of people will misjudge me, possibly turn off the program, quit listening, because you just think I'm so narrow-minded. But I guarantee you, if you're watching the same shows on television, if you watch the same sitcoms, if you watch the same movies, if you read the same magazines, if you read the same cheap novels, if you know, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in you, then don't be surprised if you have the same results as your unsaved neighbor. And yet, I am saying that the average Christian doesn't have this philosophy. The average Christian doesn't realize that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, that we are a peculiar people, that we are a chosen generation, a holy nation. Most people just are identified. They have the same influence from the world. They pipe the same junk into their life and into their world that the world does, and then they wonder why they get the same results. Scripture says, as you think in your heart, that's the way that you are. You may be born again in your spirit. You might have the life of God in you, but your life is going to go the way of your dominant thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says to be carnally minded is death. It doesn't say carnal mindedness tends towards death. It leads towards death for certain types of personalities, not just men, if their carnal mindedness produced death, or women. No, it just says carnal mindedness equals death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is word minded. To be thinking the way that the world thinks, you're going to get the same results that the world gets. And yet, most people study the same stuff, listen to the same stuff, sing the same music, sing about losing their mate, sing about sexual things. They sing about hating cops and all of this stuff. There's a lot of people that they think, well, you know, I love the Lord. I'm born again. And then they're just out here in the world. I'm telling you, if you have that philosophy, you are avoiding so many scriptures. And this is one of them, that you should not be unequally yoked. Now, I'm not saying we retreat to a monastery, but I am saying that you need to have a philosophy that we are living in a hostile environment. You need to have a similar type of philosophy as a person who goes deep sea diving. You know, I've gone scuba diving only one time. I'm not certified, but I have gone 40 feet down under the water and used tanks, and I've scuba dived. And you know what? Even though I made it and everything worked, it was a hostile environment. I was not created to live under the water, and I had to remember what they had taught me, and I had to remember how to breathe. And if I got water in my mask, I had to learn how to clear it. And I needed to constantly remember I'm in a hostile environment. I couldn't just take that thing out of my mouth. I couldn't just take my mask off and try and breathe underwater the same as I do above water. You need to recognize you are in a hostile environment, and it takes some special approach towards things to be able to survive and thrive in that. And this world is really not our home. We have been born from above, and we are in a hostile environment. And if you don't understand that, and if you go about your life just in a nonchalant way, not recognizing we are in a warfare, then I can guarantee you, you are going to be influenced by the world on how to raise your children, how to conduct your marriage. You're going to look at these sitcoms where people are unfaithful and they do all of these things and they fight for fun, and we use it as jokes. And you, before you know it, you're going to be caught up in those exact same things. I know some of you think I'm extreme, but I think you're extreme. I really believe that there needs to be a philosophy that, you know what, you should be different. Not different in a bad sense, different in a good sense. It goes on to say in verse 15, "In what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" A lot of people just write that off and say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. We don't have Belial today or infidels today. This is just talking about what concord, what communion should a believer have with the devil. And I can guarantee you much, much, much of all of the stuff that you are seeing and hearing and reading and being told is demonic in its origin. There is a spirit of Antichrist that is working in this world. There isn't a spirit of anti-Muslim or anti-Buddhist. You know what? The only people that it's politically correct to be against are Christians, outspoken Christians, not Christians who are religious Christians, but Christians who have a real vibrant relationship with God. We are the only people on the face of the earth that is politically correct to be against. There is a spirit of Antichrist working in this world, and that is coming across in our movies, in our shows, in everything. You know, one of the leading moguls in television, I'm not going to call his name, but I've read about him, and his sister died when he was young. The Presbyterian Church told him that God was the one that killed his sister, and so he rejected God, says, if there is a God, I hate him. He claims to be an atheist and are sometimes agnostic. But by his own admission, he is out to change the Judeo-Christian ethics of the United States. And he has networks that are seen around the world. Wherever you're seeing this program right now, doesn't matter if it's India, if it's Europe, if it's Australia, in Africa, wherever you are, his networks go into there. And by his own admission, he is out to change the Judeo-Christian ethics of the world. You are swimming in a hostile environment. And if you're trying to just take it all in the way that everybody else does, you are being polluted and corrupted, and that philosophy is affecting you. You need to recognize that you can't have any concord with that. You can't have any relationship with that. In the United States, I've seen a poll that there's around 90 to 95% of all Americans believe that there is a God. Now, they certainly aren't in relationship with Him. I'm not claiming that they're Christian or anything like that. But the vast majority of Americans believe that there is a God. But exactly opposite that, the inverse or the converse of that is that the people who are in television and in our movie industry, all of the producers and directors, it is exactly opposite. There is only 5% of them that believe that there is a God. 95% are either atheist or agnostic, and they have admitted that, yes, they are out to put their philosophy upon the American public. And see, we differ from other generations of Christians in the fact that we have this stuff piped into our home, and we are probably more influenced, more exposed to the philosophy of this world than any other generation of Christians who have ever lived. And unless you have a philosophy that acknowledges that you are in a hostile environment, that you should not be unequally yoked, you oughtn't to be gullible, you ought to check things out. You need to have a philosophy that we are in the world, but we aren't of this world, that the love of the world is not of God. Unless you have a philosophy like that, you are going to just take whatever comes down the pike. You are going to be destroyed. And this is the point that I'm trying to get across. In the next verse, it says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Did you know that the very terminology here is very politically incorrect? And most Christians, as well as non-believers, would take great offense over this because you are making yourself out as a Christian that somehow or another you are like a temple of God and other people are a temple of an infidel or of some demonic thing. That's exactly what the Scripture is saying. The Scripture is saying in Ephesians chapter 2 that prior to our conversion, we were all by nature children of the devil. And that we had a spirit working on the inside of us in Ephesians chapter 2, the spirit of this world. I know that this is offensive to a lot of people, and they're saying, but you can't say things like this. This is what the Bible says. And I know it's counterculture to where we are today, but that's the reason that our culture is so deadly. I believe that what the Word of God teaches is accurate. Now, this doesn't mean that I don't love unbelievers. Jesus so loved the world that He came and He gave His life for us. I'm not saying that you hate unbelievers, but I do treat them differently. I take their opinion differently than I do what the Word of God has to say. I do not swallow everything that an unbeliever says. I love them. I'm not living in a monastery. I go out. I've got a meeting scheduled with people that, as far as I know, I've been told they're atheists. I got a meeting scheduled with them today. I am not going to go in and attack them, and then after I leave, somehow or another, scrub myself down because I've been defiled by them. I'm going to show them the love of God. But you know what? I am also going in there and not just going to embrace and accept anything and everything they've got to say. I've got a philosophy that I realize I'm in a hostile environment, and I think that you need to adopt that kind of philosophy towards this world. You know, I'm out of time today, but I do have a lot more to share on this. This is our part 4 in our Christian Philosophy 2 album. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this teaching and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The fourth teaching in the CD album, titled In But Not Of the World, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching T TCP10C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, this fourth teaching in our Christian Philosophy 2 album, I believe, is going to be really powerful. There is a mindset that a lot of Christians don't have. They do not see the fact that we are in a war, that we are in a hostile environment. They have embraced the world. They haven't made a clear distinction, and because of it, I believe that they're swallowing a lot of poison that Satan is pushing our way without even realizing it. I think that this could really help you. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer and to get the materials that we're offering. Also, call in and request prayer and let one of our prayer ministers minister to you.
We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled The Believer's Authority, is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or, if you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts... The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
We are in this world, but we are not of this world. I believe that this is a philosophy that a Christian needs to have, to recognize that we're in a hostile environment. And I find a lot of Christians that don't really understand this. The Scripture says in many places, I'm not going to turn over there right now, but it says that there is already a spirit of Antichrist that has gone out. And I guarantee you, it is...